this channel is all about is a virtual community, bringing awareness, knowledge, and inspiration about important topics, trending topics about triumph, trials, and we are here to support one another. And I am so honored to be hosting this channel. It is a passion of mine. So thank you again for joining. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Carla. I am a registered nurse. I am also a certified birth doula, motivational speaker, and life coach. And I am always wanting to get people together and talk about things and promote healing and as much knowledge and together as possible. So without no further ado, I would like to introduce our speakers today. So what we're talking about is COVID-19 and the impact that it had on our entire world. And this is very passionate to me, being a registered nurse, all of the things that were seen. Thank you for joining, and all of the things that were seen. And we had people on the front lines. We had people impacted. Everyone on this call was impacted. And so we do have Karen, who is a nurse. She has her master's in nursing and education, and she was on the front lines. We're going to be talking about how she was impacted as a clinician on the front lines, how her team was impacted as clinicians, and how did they navigate that? Because there was a lot of things that they saw during the pandemic. And how did that impact their lives? And how are they navigating that now, even a couple of years after? And then we're going to have Wansetta Smith Lindsay on the line, and she's going to talk about what she endured as a wife, as a person who was with someone who had COVID, her husband, and the things that played out with that, some of the lessons learned, and how she's navigating this journey that she is now in. And the whole world is ready to get back to normal, right? Nobody really wants to talk about it, but there are so many things, so many people that are still impacted. There are so many children without parents, not just one parent, but both parents. There were reports of both parents dying. There were reports of people losing their jobs, homes, still haven't been able to recover. So this is to serve as a healing place for us to come together, see what steps we can take to navigate this journey that we're in now, and how we can move forward while still remembering those that we love. So without further ado, Karen, if you're on the line, I will allow you to go ahead and introduce yourself, and we'll go ahead and get started.
Hello. Hey, everybody. I'm Karen. My name is Karen Drain. I am a registered nurse as well. And yes, I was, Carla. So the front line is maybe an understatement for what we all as nurses had to go through. Like we were actually there with the families, you know, with the patients. It just was a lot. So the patients came to me from the hospital. They it was the step down. They didn't know what to do with them. They didn't know how to treat them. They didn't know what was what. So literally on a daily basis, you just had patients. In the beginning, they was telling us, like, you know, you can't do CPR because they didn't know what, you know, how it was spread and, you know, if we could get it. So they telling us don't do CPR. And I have a really quick story of a man that one of my patients, he actually, I will never forget this man for the rest of my life. He asked me for one breath. I was trying to sit him up, trying to open his airway as much as possible, had him on BiPAP, everything. And he kept snatching it off, kept taking it off. And he asked me, he was like, okay, wait a minute, just give me one breath. I'll never forget that man asked me for that one breath for the rest of my life. And wow. Literally he ended up passing away. So it was a lot. And then there was like, it was times that at one point they told us, you know, the nail treatments was helping them. So, you know, it was like to give them a nail treatment, but then they say we couldn't give no aerosols. So anything that you had to attach oxygen to and put on a patient, which is what you have to do to help open someone's airway, is to put them on oxygen, put them on a BiPAP, put them on a CPAP, try something to try and open their airway because COVID was collapsing their lungs. We literally did not was not able to do that. We couldn't do CPR. We couldn't give any aerosols, and it just like they just did not know how it was spreading. And that was like in March, April, May, June. It went on for months and months. It wasn't just like, you know, this is, you know, how it is. And then people were calling, they were, you know, upset with us. They were angry, couldn't let nobody see, get in because you didn't know if they had it. You know, it just, and people were literally passing away. The only people that I know were working really extremely harder than the healthcare professionals was morticians. They were literally lined up waiting to pick up people. Some people didn't even get picked up. They just like laid on the gurney because nobody could come get them. And we had to walk past that to punch in and out. It,
So,
you know.
Karen, that is so powerful what you're saying. And I just want to take a pause because I know that this can be very sad for some people to hear, you know, because this is the inside story. And it was such a place of unknown, and things were happening, things you're seeing on the news from the government, from your individual, like you're saying, regulatory guidelines and things like that of what you could and could not do. What kind of impact did that have on your mental health, on your team's mental health?
I can honestly tell you, like literally at one point for me, because I take care of my mom, so I was afraid that I was going, so afraid that I was going to bring it home to her. I have to clean her up, get her dressed, you know, I'm in her face, giving her insulin, you know. So that was the like that in itself was like just mental anguish. Like I cried and prayed literally all day, every day, trying to make sure, just, you know, asking to not give. I did not want to give be the reason that she got COVID, but I did not want to not help the people. I didn't get like the millions of dollars that a whole lot of nurses and stuff got while they were working. I was at a set job, so I wasn't going through agency making no whole lot of money and all the rest of that. I just wanted to try and do my part, but I also didn't want to give it to her. So literally at one point, I can tell you that I would come home, a drink was absolutely necessary. It wasn't even that like I could say like, oh, I'm not gonna drink today, I don't want none. No, it was absolutely necessary. I would come in, and then I found myself drinking to the point I'm like, I'm gonna drink some wine. Then I found myself drinking a whole bottle of wine. Like, you still defeating the purpose. You might as well go ahead and have a shot. You know, what's
It
the
was a
difference?
lot.
You drinking a whole bottle of wine, you know, and yeah, and I did. I know that I did, to the point that I literally at one point just said no and just stopped drinking. Just like, I don't want anything drinking. If something was happening somewhere, I would go ahead and be like, okay, I'm gonna have a drink. You know, but I'm not saying that I don't drink today, but I don't drink nowhere near as much as I did during that period of time. The liquor stores was open, the hospitals and the liquor stores were the only thing open. And I was, you could even Uber or Google or DoorDash a bottle of liquor. They were open. Yeah, so it was, that was very accessible to you. Same way you get your groceries and stuff delivered to the house, you could also tell them to give you a bottle of liquor or a bottle of wine. It was there. So
So
yeah,
that
it played on. I turned to that, and I could tell you I have a lot of friends, a lot of friends that actually were drinking and
was a coping mechanism.
absolutely,
The
absolutely.
coping mechanism.
We'll be sitting up on the phone talking and chit-chatting, talking about our day, drinking.
Because there was really no social
Absolutely.
interaction afterwards. I know as a nurse, a lot of times we would go, pre-COVID, go out, after work, connect, things like that in person, and you didn't have that to do.
Nope.
Karen, tell me, this is very powerful what you're saying and so informative. Tell me, so many families were concerned, as you say, and they were calling in, how are their loved ones doing? I had a very dear friend of mine that was in a step down as well, and her, the place where she was, they would actually when I video called them, I have to set up an appointment to video call her, and they would allow that. Were you all able to do something like that? Were you all able to assure families that you all were, standing with their loved ones as much as you could, giving them some type of, solace to know that they did have someone with them?
So Carla, it's funny you say that. At some points or another, it was no staff to hold the iPad to take to a patient's room. And I was the manager, so all of the patients were mine. And it literally like to go from room to room to room to take the iPad around was literally like at sometimes it was impossible because your nurses are out because they have COVID or their families got COVID or someone has passed away in their family from COVID. It literally was like you tried your best. That's the only thing you can do. And I understood. I absolutely understood when they would cuss and when they would fuss. Sometimes I would just sit the phone down and just let them go ahead and cuss and fuss and say whatever it was that they have to do. But while I set the phone down and let them scream and yell at me, I was gone trying to start somebody's IV or gone trying to make sure that somebody was still breathing, and then I would come back to the phone and I would pick it up. And a lot of times I would take the iPad and that patient's so sick, they can't hold the iPad. So the whole time you're holding the iPad and you're giving a report to them and somebody else is falling by the wayside while you're doing it. And the companies didn't, they didn't have, they was not prepared for COVID. We were connected to the hospital. The hospital just was dropping them off because they needed to get them out of there to make room for more.
Yeah.
And we try to send them back. We try to send them back over across the street to the hospital. They didn't even know. Keep them over there because we ain't got no room for them.
Right. And someone asked in the chat, explain what a step down is. Karen, do you want to take that? Explain what a step
So
down is.
the step down was, so it's the University of Chicago. And the University of Chicago has a facility where after you've been in the hospital, you're not quite ready to go home, but you're not they don't deem you sick enough to still be in the to be in the to be co taking a hospital bed, or so you would go over there for to the step down. So it was like a step down unit from the hospital, but not quite go home yet. So we would send them home. On a normal basis, we would send them home from there. They would get therapy. They would have whatever it was that they have. It wasn't quite a nursing home, but it's not quite the hospital. It's like in between the two. Some people would not progress enough and they would go to the nursing home, from there. But some people would progress enough and they would go home from there, just depending on what was wrong with them. But during COVID, most of them didn't.
Yes, that's absolutely a great example of that. I want to just take one of the comments in the chat that says they see now that first responders actually have and still are experiencing then and now, many people are
Where
experiencing
you been?
PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome from that. And another question that came in is, Karen, what was your motivation to keep you going to work?
The same thing that made me become a
Escape
nurse
an
in the
hour.
first place. I want to,
Oh.
I'm that person. I want to help people. I like helping people. I like seeing The best feeling in the world is to have someone come to you that is like completely gone, just out of it. Like you done did CPR on them, you done worked them, you done did everything that you had to do for them. And to see them walk away from you, to walk out of there, that's like one of the best feelings in the world. And you try to do that for everybody. It was no way on God's green earth I could have possibly stayed home and not went and tried to do what I can do. And I made sure, always made sure that I had, even when a lot of times we didn't have stuff, I made sure that I did everything that I was being told to do to make sure that I didn't get COVID. And I never got it.
All right, that's a
I never
blessing right
got it.
there. I just want to take a moment, Karen, to just say thank you. Is someone saying something to me? I thought I heard something. Just to say thank you for your service. Thank you so much for your service. Can everybody clap it up for Karen? Put some hearts and smiling
Link
faces
the
and
down
clapping
coding
hands
use.
in the
Text
chat.
them for
Put that in the chat. If you're not muted, please just check your line and go on mute. That'd be great. Go on mute if you can. And everybody, just please send some clapping hands and
Thank you
reactions to
all.
Karen. We thank you for your
Hey,
service.
Sissy.
And we're going to switch gears a little bit now. As Karen was talking, and we know now we have a better insight into what it was like on that end. And while Karen wasn't in that emergency room, she wasn't in the hospital. But her impact, the impact that it had on her is still great. It still is some trauma in there, but there are also some triumphs in there through it all. And we know that there are even more stories out there that people could share. And we're going to switch gears now and see how that connection of the front line, how it played a part on our families, on those who had to endure that. So our next guest is Wansetta Smith, Lindsay. And Wansetta actually had to endure this on a personal level with her husband. And I'm going to let Wansetta tell it in her own words. And we're going to ask some different questions in between there. And some of you all may share in Wansetta's story. You may have a similar experience. And although we all handle things differently, it still all surrounds COVID. This episode is about COVID and remembering the ones who we lost, our loved ones who we lost, friends, loved ones, coworkers, neighbors who we lost. And this is just many of million stories, but the goal is to help us find common things and help us heal together. So, Wansetta, if you will, if you would just give us a little bit about yourself and tell us how you came to be in this COVID journey.
So, thanks for the opportunity, Carla. But the first thing I want to do is I also want to thank Karen, because in addition to caring for her mom, in addition to going to work every day in spite of the risk, Karen also walked through my journey with me to kind of keep me informed, help me to understand everything that was going on. So her heart is pure. It is.
Amen. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Wansetta.
So I am a mom. That's my favorite job. I work for CPS in HR. I am a breast cancer advocate. My mother was a breast cancer survivor. I've worked in the field. I worked there for 11 years. So I am still an advocate for breast health, particularly for our community. And now I'm a COVID widow. It's still hard for me to say that. My husband contracted COVID in 2021. So the one advantage I had over the people that initially went into the hospital, I actually was able to visit my husband. I didn't have to see him on an iPad. I mean, I had to get dressed up like a spacesuit, but I was able to at least be there with him in the hospital. I think that there was a lot of misinformation, or maybe it was just misunderstanding when COVID happened, because, initially you heard, oh, it affects the elderly. It affects, people that are sick. And that's absolutely not true. My husband was absolutely healthy. He didn't even wear glasses, no high blood pressure, no diabetes, none of those things. But my husband was a truck driver, and they too did not stop working during COVID. And so he did take every precaution. He had his gloves, he had his spray, he had his mask, like he did everything that he could, you know, to keep himself safe, keep me safe. But unfortunately he did contract COVID. And when it initially started, you know, you just kind of think, oh, maybe I got the flu. I'm so tired. You know, I need to rest. Mm-hmm. It didn't hit, you know, like you heard it. You know what I'm saying? Like you heard things on the television. So you had an expectation of, okay, this is going to happen and I'll know I have COVID. That's not how it went. My husband was tired for a few days and it was about day three or four that he actually lost the taste buds. And he ate something. And when he said the food didn't taste quite right, I said, babe, I think you need to take a COVID test. So we literally went to CVS, because remember, you could go to the drive-up windows and take COVID tests. And we both tested. And we were both positive. But it affected him in a very different way than it affected me. I noticed that his breathing started getting very shallow. So I said, I think we need to go, you know, to the hospital. Well, first I thought urgent care. Mm-hmm. We literally got to urgent care and they kind of stopped us at the door. Like, if you think that's COVID, take him right to the hospital. It was like, wow, okay. We get to the hospital. He's still talking. I want you guys to understand my husband is still talking to me. He is still joking. He just was really, you know, tired and his breathing was shallow. And so of course the hospital ran a test. And so that was rapid. We knew immediately. And so then they were like, we're going to keep him. And I was like, why? You know, I'm thinking you said you're going to give him some oxygen. You're going to get some oxygen. We're going to go home. They were like, no, his breathing's not where it really needs to be. Mm. And so day one, he's in the hospital. Day two, they moved him to the COVID floor. Day three, they're like, oh, you can't enter his room. It's like signs on the door, like, stop, do not enter. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And they were like, you can't enter his room because he is on, Karen, Carla, help me out.
BiPAP.
Thank you, BiPAP. Mm-hmm. And so BiPAP is like, they're putting oxygen in, but they're also pulling something out. So they felt like the room had COVID in it. So I couldn't enter the room. So I'm literally sitting outside his room in a chair. He's texting like, come in. And I said, I can't come in. So he didn't even really understand what was happening. Mm. By like mm-hmm. day four, my husband was in ICU.
Wow.
You know, they tried the medication. Remember, there was a medicine they could give mm-hmm. you for like 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work.
That's severe.
Thank you. He got that for about 3 days. So he went in on a Sunday. By Saturday, my husband was on a ventilator. So for those of us on the outside, all we know is what they're telling us on television. That's all we know. And so I'm like, why is this happening? Like, this is happening really fast. But even in that, I'm like, okay, well, they're showing these people on the news and they were in the hospital 60 days and 80 days and they walked out of here. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what my expectation was. I was like, okay, they tried the medicine. Now he's on the vent. They're going to get his lungs together and mm-hmm. eventually he's going to come home. That's not what happened. So first thing was, you know, his lungs were shot. And what I learned with COVID is our lungs are naturally moist, but COVID mm-hmm. dries them out and makes them very hard, which is why the air doesn't circulate the way that it should. So okay. they considered that an organ failure, that his lungs were no longer functioning properly. And then one day I was there and they were like, we're going to put your husband on dialysis. And I said, my husband's not diabetic. Why would you mm-hmm. give him dialysis? Mm-hmm. And they said, because his kidneys are failing. And of course, you don't hear that. Nobody's talking about kidneys on the news. Everybody's talking about breathing. Mm-hmm. But now we got lungs not working, kidneys not working. And again, I am still the eternal optimist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay, this is just the process. We just got to go through this, you know, till he gets better. And then
let me just pause right there.
Sure.
You're saying you're getting your information from the television. Do you think that the physicians, the nurses, were they talking to you on that level and maybe you didn't understand, or there was just so much going on that maybe they really couldn't explain it, or maybe it was just too technical. What do you think?
If I'm going to be honest, I think that a lot of it went over my head because I was just so optimistic that this is the process. We're going to go through this and he's going to come. Like, it, him not surviving COVID never entered my mind. Why? Because they said it was only old people or sick people or everything he wasn't. So yes, they were very honest with me. This is what's happening with your husband. This is what we're doing. I was there every day, every single day I was there. And I know I told you guys in the beginning that I also was COVID positive. I did not ever tell the hospital that. When you went into the hospital, they took your temperature every day. If your temperature was too high, you could not go in. And I prayed every day that God would let my temperature be normal so I could be there with my husband, and God allowed that. Mm-hmm. And because I had to suit up in the exact same way the doctors and the nurses were, I did not feel like I was putting them at risk. I was covered just like they were covered. And so, like I said, he was there 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And kind of on that last day is when they said, usually when people have three organ failure, they don't come back from that. You know, again, I'm a lay person. I'm like, well, okay, it's just his lungs and his kidneys. And then they said, no, his heart is failing. And it was when they said, the doctor wants to talk to you, that for the first time, I was like, wait a minute, wait. This is not how this is supposed to work. This is not what COVID is. You give him some medicine, you give him some oxygen, he comes home, was my thought process. And so, of course, you all can already imagine what that conversation with the doctors was like. This is where we are. We've done everything we can do. You have to make a decision. And of course, at that point, it had been 3 weeks. And I'm a woman of faith, and I won't pretend that my faith has not been tested since my husband died. But at that point, I was still sold out 100%. And I trusted God. And I thought, did I leave him on these machines too long? Should I have had them turn them off sooner? And so myself and my stepson, he was there with me. We made the decision, okay, it's time to pull the family in here. Because he would hate everything about this. And I don't know. There was no part of my life that I ever saw that my husband wasn't going to be with me. And so for him to die of COVID, like, let me say this a different way. Him dying any kind of way was going to be terrible. But can you guys understand, like, if my husband, the truck driver, had died in a car accident, my mind could have processed that a little better than this foreign disease that has overtaken our country, the world, and it's doing to him everything that it's only supposed to do to old people, to sick people. And then I was without a husband. So it's been a journey. It has, you know, unlike Karen, I have actually had COVID 4 times. The only time that I actually was really, really sick is before they told us what COVID was. Mm-hmm. It was November 2020. Mm-hmm. And not only was I sick, my friends were sick. I'm talking about sick. It was the sickest I've ever been in my life, but we didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. So we go to the emergency room and everybody's either got pneumonia or a respiratory infection. That's right. What they were blanketly telling everybody. And then 3 months later is when they told us about COVID.
Right. Yes. So
it's been a journey. It's not where I saw my life. You know, I know that everybody has been affected by COVID, whether it was somebody that you knew personally or friends of a friend. One of my good friends, like, her cousin was in a coma for 3 months, but she just celebrated her 60th birthday. And that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing, a wonderful testimony for their family. But I think that we all do still live with the after effects of COVID. Yes. I know some people, you know, still don't believe COVID was real.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I'm a living witness that it was. But I think we also live differently. We wash our hands differently.
Mm-hmm.
We always thought it might have been rude for somebody to cough or sneeze without covering their mouth. You see, exactly. Now somewhere in the back of your mind, it's kind of like, this is life and death.
Dead, man.
I need you to cover this. No, I was just saying that, you know, all of us were affected in some way or another by COVID. But what I'm hoping is that as humans, we've become better people, that we've come to understand how fragile life is, that we've learned to kind of live every day like it's the last one, because it might be.
Mm. Wow.
But it's a process, and it's not easy, you know, and I'm not going to give you guys a woe is me story. But yes, my life is absolutely completely turned upside down because this was not the life that I had planned, you know, but I'm still here. Still standing, caring about people more probably than I ever have, mm-hmm. and relishing those relationships, you know, that you kind of took for granted before, you know, but I'm making it. I'm surviving. I'll admit that.
Thank you for that story, that testimony, because I met your husband, that we're friends, and was it 2020? Not 2020. Was it the end part of 2020?
November 2020
when you all visited us.
Okay. It was November 2020.
And he was very much healthy, and it was just devastating to get that news. And if anybody on the line has experienced that, just put something in the chat that say I experienced that. I understand you. I understand you, once said, I understand your story. I understand where you're coming from. Let's put something in the chat just to show our support. And it makes you look at people differently. And as you said, some people don't believe that it was real. And there's probably nothing that we can do to make people that think it wasn't real, think it was real. Because if they didn't live it or experience it, they probably, you know, it's just like talking to a brick wall, right? But we know that people really did die. People really did get sick, and people really are still struggling. And one of the things that is even happening now is people are still getting COVID. People are still dying. It's not in the mass numbers like it was during the height of the pandemic, but it's still happening. So we still have to be vigilant. Juanseta, I know it's still a journey for you. If you had to give a word of encouragement, you know, looking back on things now, because I'm sure you're gaining strength every day, even though it's still so painful. What would you like to say to someone who is still struggling with that grief?
I think you got to start before you're grieving, and you have to love your people every day. You know, once they're gone, it's a little too late. So love on your people every day. They need to know that you love and care about them. You know, I don't end a phone call with my children without saying I love you, because what if that's the last phone call they ever have with me? You know, I still go through my husband's phone and look at our text messages back and forth, because see, now all I have is memories. While you still have a chance to love your people, you need to do that every day.
Yes, that is so true. Love every day. And because we don't know when it's going to be our last, regardless if it's due to COVID or something else, makes you put life in a different perspective. That's what you're saying. I think we all can relate to that. Well, I want to thank you all for joining, Juanseta and Karen. I thank you so much. And there's still so much that we could talk about. You know, everybody has a different experience. You stated that we all live differently. And that's so true. Some of the things that I experienced during COVID, I wasn't on the front lines, but I had a team who was. And I had parents. I remember one mother calling in and saying that, who can I drop my daughter off to? Because she worked in healthcare. She said, who can I drop my daughter off to? Because I'm scared to go home. I don't want to go home. I don't want her to get sick. Who can I drop her off to? I had never heard such a thing before in my life. But it was very real. The fear was real. So if you're on this call and you're wondering like, wow, these are some of the things I never heard of or just doesn't seem real, just know that even if you don't believe it, even if you think it wasn't real or you're taking it lightly, the one thing that I just do ask that you just think about is being respectful of other people's story, being respectful of their loss, of their grief, and having a little bit of compassion that we are not, you know, people all out wars about this. Oh, it wasn't real. Open the world back up. And we're not even understanding that so many jobs have been lost because of it. Even though the world is back open, some businesses never got back open. Our family members will never see them again. Some of our friends, please be a little bit more compassionate. Say you love your family. Spend that time with them. Wash your hands. Still be vigilant. I still wear my mask on the plane when I travel in crowded places. You know, you do what you think you have to do at your discretion, but don't 1 second worry about what someone else is going to say about you if you have on your mask. Don't for 1 second worry about someone, what they're going to say about you because you're washing your hands. Or if you ask them to wash their hands, or if you ask them to cover their mouth, don't you dare, you know, feel afraid to do that because it takes all of us. It takes all of us to do that. You can go to the Facebook page, Carla's channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration, and like and follow. And every week, we're just going to have everyday people just like us, you know, giving their story and what they're doing to navigate life and trials and triumphs. So if you would like to be a speaker, just please direct message me. And Karen, thank you for your words. COVID is still here and people are still getting sick. It's not talked about as much, right? Because we want to downplay it. We want everyone to think that the world is economic growth, growth, growth. And not saying that it isn't. But there's still people who are hurting, children without parents, people without jobs, homelessness on the rise. So if you're on this channel and you are doing okay right now, just be grateful and thankful. And we're just so glad that we have this community. So thank you all. We will end. There will be a recording available and I will add it to the Facebook page. I thank you all so much and appreciate you all. God bless. Take care. And we will talk again soon. Bye-bye.